Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the local voter education program, Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9. The topics tonight are Fort Worth May 6th elections to be contested in the district court. And do you know who your District 4 council member is, who has only lived in District 4, 32 months, and never been to a council meeting, but here is your new leader? We sent out invitations to the elections office if they have someone that could answer some of these unanswered questions. And to District 4, Charles, the new council member, but we have not received a reply as of now from either one. And with that, and in the absence of a real host, here is your host Willoughby.
Yeah, well, thank you for
Don't
that,
mention
Susan.
It.
Ah, well, welcome to a show of local voter education. Actually, what it is, it's... What this show's about, it's not a class. We don't teach it. I mean, we just share information, and we call that local voter education. Okay? And tonight, I'm going to be discussing just a little bit about what's required into a recount of an election. One thing, since I started this show, I sure have learned a lot about our city and from a lot of people being on here. So it educates me a lot, too, on things here and researching things and then sharing it. And the only thing people can give you that's priceless is knowledge. That's the only thing that people can give you that's priceless, that's knowledge. It's knowledge that nobody can steal from you. So my suggestion is grab all the knowledge you can for free, especially, because it can be priceless, and it's no one can steal it from you. So, but anyway, on the May 6th election, we've discovered a video that came out and has raised some concerns. It's from the 2020 election, and it's the same people counting on the our May 6th election here. And there's a lot of questions that need to be answered about that we'd like to get answered. And before I go any further on this show here, I did reach out to the elections office to invite anybody on, or if they had anybody would come on and help answer some of these questions for us, to, you know, come on and share it, you know, and I've not got a reply from them. Kat, the woman at the ballot counter that resigned from the ballot after the video came out, has been generous enough to come on Carrie Hines' show, Let's Talk Fort Worth, and has been outspoken and come out. And in my books, if you're being accused of something you're innocent, that's the first thing you do. And unlike our local city council, which... don't come out for anything when you accuse them, because I guess it's probably true. So, but anyway, nevertheless, so that does not make her innocent, though, by doing that, because that can be that's a double-edged sword in a way. But it is the first steps, okay? And we're not looking to, really not looking to find any kind of criminal charges or anything. I'm hoping that we don't find anything. I hope it's a bad situation either way, whether we don't find a miscount, or we find the true counts, because the counts are so low. That's critical in its own self. So that's something to be really, really concerned about. And I'd like to take a word that Carrie Hine used on her show. I like that. I'm going to steal this from her, and it's called I don't know where she got it either, but we have like a media blackout, and I agree with that. And basically our local media does not give you the information we need to have more voters. So it's very important, these the independent shows, to pay attention, share them with your friends and people, and try to get them to queue in, because, believe me, since I've been tuning in other people's shows like this and listening, there's nothing like learning and getting knowledge. And like I said, when I listen to Carrie's show, there's been a couple of things came up on her show from people that just, and it stimulates my brain. When it does that, that's great. And one person called in and said, why are our ballot counters, why are they not bonded? You know, and that's a question I wanted to ask. That's what I did ask the election place. Why are they not bonded? That's a good question, you know. And that. So, and there was another one that just slipped my mind, but it was a good one, too. Oh, yeah, it's what Kat said, too. I really agree with her that I wouldn't mind us having a day off from work and having an election day and advertise it and celebrate it and make it fun, because politics, and the way it was designed in the beginning, is really not bad. It's very fun. It's very fulfilling, and it makes you feel good about yourself when you're doing the right stuff at it. It's just that we let the wrong people get in charge over the decades, and they saw where they can benefit by keeping us out. So that's what they've done. They've isolated us and kept us out more and more and more. from politics, making them more or less, like they say, they call themselves leadership, you know. But and they're supposed to be servants to us, actually. I'd like to see us equal. That would be nice for a change. But what's happening in this city, and maybe across the country, I don't know. I mean, I focus on our council, I mean, our my district, District 5, and the city of Fort Worth. And that is enough to give my ulcers. So I really don't look outside here. And also at the end of the day, I've been trying for the last 10 years. I mean, I put a lot of money in this and a lot of time into it because I feel it's very important that if we don't change the way we're going, it's going downhill. And in the last 24 months, it has rapidly, I mean, Maddie Parker is like Bessie Price on steroids. So I'm just saying, she's too young, too immature, and believe me, we're kind of like on the Titanic, and I'm stuck on this ship whether I like it or not. So, but anyway, we need to get more people involved. That's it. And there again, I kind of lose my train of thought sometimes and go off trail here a little bit, but let's get back to the election thing here. I was going to do because the numbers are so low, I wanted to ask for a recount. And by the time I put that together to do that, when I checked, the word came back is that you had to ask for a recount before the canvassing, they call it canvassing or whatever, is done, and within 2 days of that. So I missed that date by a couple of days. So for one thing, as far as a recount goes, that's not much time to work with, you know. So it should be extended further than that, really, I believe, a lot further. And the other thing, what they went by on the recount was how many booths were open in your district, and they charge you $100 for each opening voting place that was open. And in our District 5, we had 66, and then they charge you just one for early voting. They call that one location. So 67 voting places, it would cost me $6,700 to do a recount. And with the numbers so low, I mean, we're down to, in 2021, District 5, we had 5,700 people voting out of 100,000 people, which is really bad, okay? That's really terrible. And this election, we're down to about 3,400, somewhere in that neighborhood. We're about over 2,000 votes down from the last one. So around 3,400 is what we got on this one. And by the way, they do that with the voting. If they charge you by locations, it doesn't make sense, really. They should charge you by the votes. I mean, charge me by the location, $6,700 to count 3,400 votes, which is almost $2 a vote. Okay? That's ridiculous. Now, what if we'd had 10, 12, 20,000 people voting in this district? We still would have to just pay $6,700 to get 20,000 voters counted as well as 3,000. That doesn't add up to me. It seems like you go by the number of votes is what you'd want to charge the public on and go by that. That made more sense because, you know, if they open up by the booths, this doesn't make sense. And also, it kind of goes in line with a lot of other things here because when you watch the video that the people that I released on the, which we got to see an insight on the ballot counting and that. And as Chris said on Kerry's show, this is not run professionally. It is, regardless, at the end of the day, if nothing else, it does not look professionally run. You know, you have people coming in and out with bags. There's documents being printed out and taken out of the building at the end of the night. So it needs to be in the security guards in and out half the time on his phone. It just does not look like something as important as the ballot counting. And believe me, the ballot counting now in your city and this council, which people don't, I guess a lot of people don't think how important their local council and mayor is. But if we was to get the word out there more and start educating kids in school, that your mayor and council has more direct power over you than the president of the United States. So don't turn a blind eye there. They have direct, and you have more direct power over them than the president of the United States, too, when you work together, because we have numbers, and there's strength in numbers out here. But people and our local government knew that over the years. That's why they dummy people down not to get involved in local. And that's the whole name of the game here, is they don't want us together. But nevertheless, we need, well, there we go again. I kind of lose track just a little bit. But we do need to analyze our voting thing more. And I wish someone, the reason I guess that's where I started off too, why I didn't invite Kat on this show. She's been on Carrie's show a couple of times. So you done heard her side of the story. That's good. And I would invite her on there, but we need someone from the other side to balance it out. So that's why it's important. I'll be trying next week again to reach out to the election place and see if anybody will come on and answer any of these questions, and we can put them out there. But that. So, but also what I've learned in this thing that when I found out I was past the time for a recount, so you go to the Secretary of State, and you can start filling an application for more or less for criminal charges if you feel there's something fraudulent there that you can prove and that. So that way. But there was another thing I saw in there, another chapter, that was about challenging the election. Now, that one lit up my eyes because what it said in that was about it could be mechanical problems you want to challenge it. Several of it doesn't have to be personal error. It can be machine error. It can be person error, or it could be criminal. Any one of the ones would work in this system. So Monday morning, I'll be checking with the district court, see what it costs to file the papers, and we'll challenge this, we'll contest this election and see if we can't get someone to look into it. Because the numbers, with the city growing larger for one thing, and the numbers dropping by 2,000 votes in my district, that's kind of questionable. It is kind of questionable. And another thing is this race was so close that if I'd had one more 1,000 votes, we would have been into a runoff. So this small amount, it's very important. They make all the difference in the world. And the city will go all out, I promise you, to keep me out of office. It'll go out, I'll tell you, not just me, though. It's not because of me. It's anybody that's willing to challenge the establishment, not turn a blind eye, and this is what we need to teach kids in school too. Sometimes you need to get on board and do things just because it's right, whether it has an effect on you or not. There's something wrong or something being done wrong or something you see wrong, whether it has an effect on you or not, you should work on trying to change that if you can, if it's in your power to, or at least, you know, try to, and that's how we get a better city all the way around. But But anyway, we'll challenge this in the court. And then let's go back to one of the grounds to challenge this on, that I'm going to challenge on. Anyway, there we go. Now I'm back on track. I'm sorry here. I was talking about the city would do anything to keep me out. Now let's go back on it. We'll backtrack just a little bit here and start off where I got started about 13 years ago and run through this real quick. When I first got involved in the city, I didn't know anything. I was brain dead of that. And I'm glad it was a double-edged sword. I'm glad I got woke up. First thing was I was attacked behind my back without knowing it with documents from the city sent to people that I do work with vicious lies on them. And I found out purely by accident, or maybe a little help from above, I don't know. But accidentally I found that, and we got the papers from the city, and that's what started the whole trail right there. I couldn't believe a city could ever do that to a citizen. So that's code compliance, okay? And that goes with the names of things, why they call us leadership. All these little things are in place that put people down. I mean, put them in under kind of a communist control. But code compliance should be changed to code service, not code compliant, code service. I'd like to see that change. But anyway, that's code compliance. So anyway, I ran into a whole issue there that worked me up the trail a little bit here. So far that it was so wrong and stuff that I decided I'd do anything to change the city, even run for council. So I did that. I did a trial run in 15 to see if I can do the job because I have respect for it. I have respect for the people's money and everything. If I can't do it right, I want someone who can. That's it at the end of the day. You know. Anyway, so I tried in 15. And I said it'd be more fun than going to a sporting event. And I spent $450, and I had a blast running for council because I wasn't trying to win. It was just going through the motions and learning, and it was very fun. In 17, when I got ready to run, the city changed the rules, but didn't bother to inform me about it for sure because I was rejected from the ballot. Everything was the same except for one little rule that they changed. And also, the city did not put it in the requirement list when you ran for council. There was two of us kicked off the ballot because both of us, our voter card needed to be changed a little bit where they had redistricted. It was not required the first time, but they changed the rule, did not put it on the list of requirements. So, I mean, I don't know how – it's an impossible task to meet that requirement. But anyway, they rejected me from the ballot there. And my thing was, if it was a true mistake from a real city that has people in it care, they would have contacted, apologized, and said, we're going to make sure this don't happen again, and done what they could to make up. There was nothing like that. There was no apologies, nothing. It was done intentionally. And then – we go past that as we work on up. I have received a letter from the city trying to ban me from city council. I received another one that tried to sue me. They said they were going to sue me if I put one in the paper, and I did what I was talking about. So I put it in the paper anyway. I had to, and they didn't sue me, so it must be true. And then the bad stuff really started happening. So anyway, I have all kinds of suspicions of our city. And it is a $1.7 billion business. Fort Worth is a $1.7 billion business, and we should look at it that way. And what I'd like for us, the people to do, more or less, or start training, let's get rid of mayor and council. Don't look at them. Look at us, the chair and board and us, the stockholders. It's our city, okay? That's the kind of doctrine I'd like to get into the schools. That's the chair and the board, and the chair and the board answers to the stockholders. And we are the stockholders, so we need that power back. But anyway, so... but anyway, they done all that. So, no, I would question these vote counts. I ran. This is the fifth time I ran, and I've never challenged the race before. This time I am going to challenge it because there's just too many things that just don't add up. And it would help a lot if the elections would come out and answer questions that we have about these videos we've seen. So it'd be really helpful on that. So. But also, I'll take questions if anybody has a call in, any suggestions on our – on the on how our voting should be run, if you feel comfortable with it or not. We'll take calls and callers anytime. We don't have a guest on the night, so I'll just leave it wide open at any time to have anybody step in. Also, I want to cover a little bit about our elections here with District 4 with Charles. And I called and talked to Charles for a minute, and I invited him to come on the show here again, where they call themselves leadership. I mean... when people can't defend themselves, and I told Charles I was not supportive of him, and I'd like for him to come on. I don't think it's right to criticize or talk about a person without at least giving them a chance to defend themselves. Unlike the city, they will attack you left and right from those pillars they sit on up there. They look like a bunch of vultures looking down at you, and they will attack you left and right. But they will not come down afterwards and defend himself or anything like that, and then they run off. So, but anyway, Charles is a good council member because he fits in that category, it looks like. Anytime he wants to come on the show and defend himself, hey, any of these council members, any of these elected figures, council members or mayor can come on. But the best way they find to stay in office is not to come out and speak. That's how they stay in. Because if they were to come out, you might start second-guessing who you got in office. And so, but anyway, I'll just tell you, it's actually what happened in this redistricting, they added two more council members, what they've done, and the real truth of this thing was to make government stronger and the people weaker. And at the end of the day, that was it. Because I've been involved with the meetings since square one. It starts off with insufficient data right at the beginning. When they put the charter vote out, and I mention this over and over, and anybody in business, anybody that knows math, it doesn't take much to figure it is. It's wrong. It needs to be corrected from the beginning. But these people didn't correct it because it was not their, it's their intention to do this way. And it's how they got it by adding two more council members. Is by when they had the charter vote, they didn't advertise it. I went to three different charter meetings, and there probably weren't more than a dozen people, if you add them all together, that ended up that attended these charter meetings. No one knew about it. Only 3% voted on the charter deal, and less than, maybe it was less, I get back, it was less than 3%. It was like 1%. because it was less than 1% that got the two more districts added into the city. So I would think when you're going to make a major change to a city and do it only on the strength of 1%, that's not right. 99% didn't approve of this, 1%, and it's going to cost everybody several hundred thousand dollars a year. That money could be used for so many things. Then they'll turn around and say they don't have the money for it. You know, it's so funny. But anyway, but two more council members sitting up there is just more power for them and us weaker. And these two council members aren't going to do it. And one of them is going to get on a golf track just a bit. But actually, with these two new districts, they're called 11, 10, and 11. But actually, 10 is really not a new district. The incumbent, Baylock, and 10, he was already a council member, so there's an incumbent there. What would be your two new districts, actually, to me, would be 4 and 11. Both of those didn't have an incumbent, so they started off in neutral, you know, the candidates. There's no one to challenge, no one to sign. Call it the new ones. And but anyway, the kind of this Charles got put in, he's only lived in the district 32 months. Never been to a council meeting, probably never been to a bond meeting, never been to a budget meeting. But he's going to sit there and be your councilman, your leader. And I don't blame him for doing it. No, I can't. But you know what's happened is I blame the city overall, because their whole ideal is to keep us out of government, to keep us dumbed down, and not to be involved, and let them run out of the police. And I'm not pleased with any of these. And if there's any way in the future that we can reverse this, I would love to, in the next election, if there's some way to scrap this and take back those two districts and put that money back into our budget to be used for children or pets or anything. But two more people is going to sit there and not answer questions. So, but the only way we're going to make anything happen in this city is going to keep, you know, controlling us and running us until we learn their strength in numbers and get together and start making a stand. That's the only way. So, but anyway, if you have any questions or you'd like to call in, the number is 515-602-9610. I'll be glad to take anybody else calling if I got any questions or comments, council members, or the new one there. If anybody wants to call in and defend Charles, that's fine with me. You're more than welcome to do that. And that's the ideal of this show, is to bring things out in the opening. And I'll tell you, as long as these people don't defend themselves, that gives me the right to say almost anything I want about them. And basically, as far as it goes, it's true. Okay? And why not? It's just as well true as not true if they don't want to stay at the bat to defend themselves. And that. So, but yeah, and these are our, you know, supposed to be leaders and that type of people. And that's not what I want down at council. I want people that will confront you when there's problems, you know, and if there's anything said about them. So, but anyway, it's going to take some work. And one of the projects that I'm working on, I'll be working on, my main project I've been working on is getting our freedom of speech back at city council to speak. A lot of people don't, some people are tired of hearing me say that, but maybe if they get tired enough to hearing it, they'll call and drive council crazy enough to put it back on so you don't have to hear me anymore. But nevertheless, this is an important thing. And I'm looking to put up a billboard around September, October, sort of around October. We're going to try to get a billboard. We'd like to get three billboards up. I'll be reaching other businesses. I have another business that's contributing to this already. I'm going to try to pay for one and have two other businesses pay for two more and put three billboards up. And we're going to go after Maddie Parker for taking away our right to speak at council. Now, this is the most easiest thing and the most important thing to do. And what people don't understand is that it's not my thing. This is not mine. I did not write the Constitution. I did not make the Constitution. The first thing on our Constitution is your right to speak. That's number one, okay? And when your council takes that away from you, your mayor takes that away from you, how can you trust them? You know, you can't trust them with anything like that. That means they have no respect for you. Now, people can group up and go down there and get certain things done, but that'll only be the things that council will allow them to get done. Anything this council and mayor wants at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you say. So, anyway, by grouping up and going after our right to speak, and trying to get enough people, because it's going to come back on the agenda again around November. It'll be on the agenda. And this time I'd love to see hundreds of phone calls, people show up and show them that we still can control this city. They should have never took it away. Never, ever should have done that. That was disrespectful to the people. And the reason why, you know, that was a weapon. And we need that back. That will, I can't explain how important it is to get it back, but they know what they did. They took away a weapon from us, you know. Same way with the media blackout. Don't let you know. Don't let information out. Take away your right to speak. Cover that up with what they call a public comment meeting, which is a joke, a real joke. But I enjoy going down there and venting. You know, it's for free. And that, so, but it's a joke. It's not a council meeting. And that's, and they lied about this not being able to speak. Crying will sit there and make jokes about it and say, Bob, you're speaking now. Yeah, I'm speaking. You can only speak on what's on the agenda, what they allow you to speak on. So it's not freedom of speech. You're restricted. We used to have freedom of speech for 3 minutes. We don't have that anymore. So actually, you know, this city is, it's turning under the government control. And the only answer and the antidote to this is us. So I'm hoping that we can get enough people that will help share the word between now and then, start working at it and rallying, and start pestering the council and the mayor. And we're going to try to put 3 billboards and get that right to speak back. You know why? I'll tell you, one of the most important reasons why we need to do that. The children that are coming after us, they will not even know they had a right to speak. That's shameful of us. We let this go by, okay? That is really shameful of us. We have to put it back at least for them. Even if you don't use your right to speak at council, it's okay. It's like a weapon. It is a weapon. I have a gun. I've only had to use it once. And thank God I had it. I never want to use it again. And I didn't have to shoot anybody, fortunately, but I did use it in a situation where someone let a pack of dogs loose out here, and they got into the back pen with the donkey down there, and they would have killed the donkey, and I had to run down with my pistol, and I fired a couple of shots. I don't like hurting animals either, so I didn't shoot the dogs either, but the pit bulls, but I put a couple of shots in the ground, and noise, it stopped them, and they got back out of the fence, and they took off, and the donkey, his ear got chewed up a little bit, but luckily, if I went upstairs and saw them, they would have killed that donkey, And if I wouldn't have had that gun, that noise is what helped. So it was a handy tool to have, and I never had to use it before and since, and I hope I don't never have to, but I never want to get rid of it, okay? And the same thing with our right to speak at city council. You never want to get rid of it. And for that, and I mean, people may not like the way I approach things. I don't use political correctness. And that's why I'm not a good campaigner either, is because I can't lie to your face like Gina Bivens can. I can't do that, okay? So, and that's what makes a good politician campaign. Most of them are, they have the ability to lie to you, you know, without a problem, without a blink of an eye, and I just can't do that. So, anyway, so what I am is what I am, and that's what you get if I was to get in, and that's it. But nevertheless, if we was to get this back, and all they got to do is put it back on the agenda. It doesn't have to go on a ballot. It just goes on the agenda. It's so easy to put back on there. If we were to get that back on and show unity to do that, it would send a signal to them. But they are, you know, they're in their own bubble, and they're totally out of control, and they only laugh at the handful of us that come down there. I mean, they do laugh. I put stuff, I've got their autograph, they autographed one of my Fort Worth Weekly ads. I put Crane and Maddie and Beck and Jared in there, and make comments about them, which is true, very true. And instead of challenging these comments, you know, they make jokes, but they all signed the Fort Worth Weekly, and then Crane gave it to me out in the hallway, and I'll have their autograph on those pictures. And I thought, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just, that's not the way your adults and mature leaders, if their leadership would ever act like that. It's childish. It's like kids on the playground. And that's the way Maddie is, like a kid on the playground. If you go against her, she's going to want to push back. And then also on this our election thing here with Deborah Peoples, I didn't know she was chair in there, but she's jumping up and down too about Tim O'Hara, because he sent a letter to Mark Veazey, which has made some comments apparently, and Tim O'Hara sent a letter to him about this our election stuff, and then now we got Deborah Peoples jumping up and down a little bit, but she's just talking. She's not going to file a suit. She's not going to. I can tell you that right now. She just wants maybe get in the paper, a little tension or something like that, but she's not going to do anything. Nothing she can do. But anyway, but I am. I do. I am going to file a, providing this, that's not out of my reach of money, but I don't think it is. Last time I filed a case in district court was some years ago. It was only like $450. It might be higher now. I don't know what it is, but we'll check on that Monday and start investigating that and filing that for a contestant of the election. But nevertheless, here's the thing. People gets in. Deborah People jumps out and makes our interview or the comments about Tim O'Hara on this election instead of asking questions like I'm asking about the video. Instead of questioning things, she's already defending, okay? There's questions. Let's get them answered first. Answering the questions would defend the actions. If they answer the questions, that would defend the actions. So, but she's not. She's not looking at that. She's jumped out to go after him, like I said, mainly just to get some attention. That's it. And that's what happens with a lot of things in our system and stuff, with our what I learned about code compliance too. If you they gang up on certain people, they don't do enough to get enough people mad or to really rally against them, but they do isolate a case. It is bad how they treat people. It is bad. And unbelievably, and that's why when we wanted a police oversight committee meeting, I wanted to include code compliance too, but no one seems to really want to reach out to them for some reason or another. But if you look at the whole system, like if we were being communists taken over, that picture falls in place so good. Now, people may not want to believe that, or that's nonsense, or maybe they weren't taught. It's a different generation from what I grew up with. But to me, everything falls in place. It all looks like it's leading to a communist control. And even from what Stalin said back after World War II, that America, you'll not fall by war, but it'll fall from within. And I believe that by taking away our patriotism, our beliefs in that, and weakness in it. And I believe that's what's happening here. But we got warning signs, so we can change things if we can get people on. And it wouldn't take much. And what we got to do is start with our local council and our mayor. And that, well, actually, the tree to the city is your city manager and your mayor. That's where you really start at. And if you have a real mayor and a city manager, everything will start folding out from there. And that's where my focus is on that. And that's why I'm in there going to go after Maddie Park about taking away our right to speak. Because if we can bring down, push Maddie Parker back into doing something like that, it'll show control. I believe more people will get on board, and we can grow. We're going to get more strength. But the first thing is put back that right. So we're going to be working on that. Another thing that's killing our city is our, we got the three, I put on the three amigos. How's this? The Star Telegram, the Firefighter Association, which I talked to James Davis, the fire chief, has been on our show before, and I talked to him a few weeks ago. And I like James, so we'll see. He said he'd talk to the president of the Firefighter Association. I said over the next 24 months for the next election, let's see if we can't get them out of this stuff, buying them, So we'll see if Chief James is going to do anything or not. At least he will talk. He's came on the show. Unlike our police chief, Neil Noakes, who runs, I can't talk to him. He'll stand in the hallway and talk to everybody out there. I got a camera. He'll talk to. He's got time for everybody else but me, but he won't take a question. So and he runs out the building. And that's kind of embarrassing. So, how can you get him to even talk about the POA president or them changing if he won't talk? So, but the fire chief did, he seemed concerned. He said he'd talk to the, and I told him, I said, I do not like the president of the Firefighter Association. I've talked to him, and I like him less since I've talked to him, okay? And what they're doing, the POA, the Firefighter Association, and the Star Telegram have really undermined the city. If they would flip-flop from favoring the candidates they want in office with all their power and our money at that, actually, they use our money. If you follow the trail, we pay the firefighters with tax dollars. We pay the police with tax dollars. the police and the firefighters give their money to the Firefighter Association and the PLA, which turns around and gives that money to Gina Bibbins and Maddie Parker. So we pay for their finances to put them in there. Oh, this is a, you know, it's just unreal. But anyway, hey, I do see a hand up. I'll open that up here in just 1 second here, which is nice because I know people get. I know if I talk, ramble on long enough, someone's going to get sick of hearing me and have to open up the line here. But anyway, yeah, that's what we're doing. And we, if we could change them to endorse, I mean, endorsing events, education, and having, and we should have more events during election time, more meetings in schools, and bring the candidates out. The mayor race, they should be down at City Hall. They should be on Channel 190 and be seen. This stuff should be well publicized on billboards and when to get on the ballot and all that. All that money and all that, that stuff, the Star Telegram they have, could flip the city and bring our votes up in District 5 from 3% to, they'd probably bring us on up to 5, 6, 7, 8% if they were to do that. I believe that, and we need to get going that way. Putting this line up here to 0064, and let's see if we get it open. It's spelled
Hi, Bob.
0064. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Tanya Carter. How are you?
Hi, Tanya. Glad you called in.
Yes.
Have at it. Take over.
I don't want to take over. I just need some clarification. You mentioned Sister Deborah Peoples, okay?
Uh-huh.
And about the claims of ballot harvesting that was observed on a video tape with a police officer and whatnot, and a Star Telegram article saying that she basically was threatening to bring a lawsuit against Tim O'Hare for those accusations. Do you have any information or privy of knowledge to know exactly what accusation Tim O'Hare made? Was it in relation to the video? Was it a statement that was made in reference to the Star Telegram article? The threatening of the suit was brought forth late Friday evening. And I'm going to – I hope that you're following me so far. My question is, was contact actually made, or was this statement about threatening a lawsuit made during the time the video was published?
All right. I think the
–
what statement
I might
be
did Tim make?
Well, what I'm thinking, it came from a and I could be wrong here, too, as well, but I'm thinking Tim O'Hara sent a letter to Mark Veazey in 33 and going after Mark Veazey about some comments Mark Veazey, I believe, made. I was going to post that letter, and I forgot where I got it, whatever, but I was going to post that. I'll put it on my I'll put it out there on Facebook or website, whatever. But Tim sent I think we did, and I'll post it again. But he sent a letter to Mark Veazey. And I think that had part of what Deborah's talking about. And the other part, I guess because Deborah was the chair and Kat worked under her, and she's the one that put Kat in place. So I would think that she's coming to the events of that, too. I think there's a connection there, too, as well.
According to the Star Telegram article, it didn't mention Kat Kano at all.
But that's how she got recommended for the board by Deborah Peoples.
Yes, for the election board.
She's the one that put her there. So.
The Star Telegram ad was referencing to Deborah running for judgeship, for Tarrant County judge. Not the she was the chair of the Democratic Party at that time, but it was referencing to a videotape of a police officer and someone supposedly that worked in the People's Campaign. That made comments that he was paid by Deborah Peoples to harvest ballots. So I was just needing some clarity because I know it's a new revelation of a video that surfaced on YouTube and it's being narrated by someone assumingly having inside information about the goings on in which Kat Kano is being profiled in that particular video. But I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I want to stick to the facts, but things are fishy. I hadn't spoke to Sister Peoples, but just in reading the article, seemingly to me it's unclear if these claims were made recently or if these claims was made during the time the video with the police officer and the African-American black guy was on the video that surfaced. And then she did make public comments in reference to that video, but I hadn't heard any mention of this new video that surfaced that, it has very incriminating suggestions or somewhat evidence, according to the person that's narrating the video, that implies, has strong implications against Kat. And I really don't know what to think of it. I'm still looking at it and reserving, my opinions on it, especially in light of artificial intelligence and all this fractal stuff. You know, we can manipulate things to make it seem what it's not. I don't know, Bob. It's interesting. The plot is thickening. I'm just going to sit back and I'm continue to trust in the process. And as I close, I agree with you. I too ran for city council position in District 6. And my numbers were extremely low. It's too late for me to ask for a recount. I'm not sure if I'm going to contest. I know it's a certain time frame, but most definitely I'm going to file a complaint with the Secretary of State to see if these allegations are true and if the investigation can take place.
It won't cost,
and then move forward.
It won't cost anything to do that, go that. It won't hurt to start that trail cooking. It won't hurt. And you know, like I said, I did reach out to the election board, and I'm going to be reaching out to them again. And the best thing, like you said, we got a lot of questions to get answered, and that would save a lot, you know, just by coming out and answering questions. So we do need some, we got some really legitimate questions that need to be answered and that. And then, like I said, one of your questions there I had an answer to, but I think I forgot. But main thing is I don't know much about what Deborah Peoples saw, what she's got, or this, you know. And that came up on my messenger about that article and paper, and I saw it said about people, and I saw, well, she's jumping in and speaking, but I knew, you know, she, from that's what I want to say was that, and I might have said it already, but I'll repeat it again. You know, Kat did an interview. She's on Carrie Hines' podcast, Let's Talk Fort Worth, Center Stage. So, you know, go over and listen to her, and that way you can hear it from herself. And you know, even in this last election, May 6th, she's talking about some boxes ballot boxes, I think, of rejects, and she says somewhere in passing them over to another.
She just said it was two boxes that the judge asked her to move from one room over to the registrar. I did hear that, Bob. I did.
Okay, so I don't know, you know, but here's a question on that. If she counted the two boxes of duds, how do we know that she didn't have a lapse of mind? So, you know, I'm questioning her mentality to be in this position to do this certain job, you know, and this job, I don't think, you know, you have to be a sound mind to run for council. And when you listen to her talk on Carrie's show, which I have nothing against the girl or nothing, you know, at all, but it's like almost too much information trying to cover up, you know. So I don't know. Like you said, I don't know. And speculation is no good. But I'll tell you what, if the election board will not come out and talk to us, and they don't want to come out and clarify these, we do got a problem, and we got something to go down that we should assist on. You know, we got to get these answers, and I'll go before the commissioner's court with Tim O'Hara, and we'll get his backing to help us to make sure we get these things out. But we'll see if the election board or the election company will, you know, office will start answering some questions for us, or where to go get some questions answered. And that's what I'm working on. All this stuff just came out kind of quick, you know. But we're doing this show, and we'll do one next week, and we'll keep on this. And like I say, I'm planning on filing that that contest in court, and we'll see. Because the numbers, you know, who knows? They might have been suppressing these votes for quite some time now. Who knows for sure? I don't think anybody ever questions anything in this city, you know. So that's why they're getting, you know, they get away with what they get away with.
Advocate. I would like to play the devil's advocate, and you can go ahead and release me. I do recall reading an article where software was being placed on, I believe it was a city of Fort Worth, is it mainframe? I'm not tech savvy. I don't know the jargon. And he was paid, I believe it was 29 $6.6 million. The software had to be installed and operable by May 1st. Last time I revisited, it wasn't installed by May 1st. It's my understanding, and I have not verified this information, that the county and city, it's connected. And I'm playing the devil's advocate here, and you know, in light of these recent allegations and, you know, what's coming forth. Seemingly, I'm just speculating, and I'm doing due diligence now. This is just my opinion, and I'm exercising my right to freedom of speech.
Yeah. And that's what we got to do at city council, is exercise our right back
county,
to freedom of speech.
That Texas election, you know, office could have been tampered with, and I'm just posing that question. I'm going to go ahead and go.
Tanya, I appreciate the call in and your information, okay? I appreciate that very much. And, you know, there is a lot of things that can be speculated here. And there's a lot of things that could be answered real quick, too. So let's see. Okay. Well, it looks like we've got someone's hand up here at a 2997. I wonder who that could be. Are you on the line there, Carrie?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing. I don't know how I'm doing, but I'm doing.
Well, I just heard Tanya talking. And I have to kind of co-sign some of the things you said, but I think she spoke about the website being worked on. That was the Tarrant County website, which is connected to elections. Because if you want to say the Tarrant County website, you can go to several areas of the website and get, you know, the courts. You can get, you know, who's in jail, and you got to also get elections. So they were working on, allegedly, on May 1st, which was in the middle of early voting, the website that dealt, or the portion of the website that dealt with the court. And allegedly those that area of the website was supposed to be worked on the week prior to May 1st, which still would have been in the middle of the election. And it was supposed to be up and running by May 1st is what I understood. And that software designer was paid $26.6 million to do that. And we do remember that there was an outage on the Tarrant County website on May 1st, which, again, was in the middle of an election cycle. So I question why anyone would be working on a website in the middle of an election that was connected to an election, if that makes sense. It could have possibly, you know, I'm not saying that he did, you know, because I have no knowledge of that, but, you know, sometimes it just, you don't do certain things because you don't want to give the impression that it could be connected. So for that reason, I think that for those of you all who ran for office, that there's many reasons in which, you know, one could say I choose to contest the election, and that would be the fact that the website was being worked on, I would think, the fact that that outage took place, the fact that, you know, the video has surfaced from, you know, the ballot board room, and, you know, Ms. Cano coming on the show, and there wasn't a question that I even asked, because I didn't know to ask about the ballot leaving the room on May 6th, which was the election night of this last election. So for multiple reasons, I can see why people like yourself and Tanya, who ran for office, would be, you know, thinking that a recount or contesting the last election would be fair. And I'm sorry.
Thanks for the
gentle
correction.
Say what?
Thank you for the gentle correction and clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was worth putting it out there, to, you know, so somebody can't say, well, that's not true. Well, it is true. She just may have got a little off on the numbers and what website was being worked on, but that absolutely did happen.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I appreciate that very much, Gary, to clear that. And Tanya, I appreciate you bringing that up, too, because it is a point to be put into the suit. I mean, the court thing there. It is along with other things there. If you're tuning in, we're talking about the last election. We talked a little bit about a council member in District 4, if you're just tuning in. If you have any questions on those two or comments or anything about them, feel free to. Anything that you missed, you can always go back and catch the podcast and catch up and see what was mentioned in this thing earlier. Right now, our number is 515-602-9610. Usually when I have guests on, I like to interview the guests for the first half and the second half open the lines up for calls. But we don't have no guests on. Our guest tonight is a subjects and issues, and so the lines are open at any time to call in and take questions and answers. So that. And with that, we'll go to the phone. It looks like I've got another line open here. And let's see, 6431. Who we have here? 6341.
Howdy, Bobby. It's Marino.
Marino.
Yeah. What's happening?
Not much. Not much. Let me.
Yeah.
My mind's blank.
I heard some of what. I just got on and listened to the last part of what Kerry was saying and everything. And you know, we understand about numbers. You know, the technical aspects of how to, you know, how to move this piece to move that piece to make something make sense. But here, and, you know, and Kerry's
emphasizing. Uh-oh. Did we lose you?
Kerry's.
Chris?
No, you hear me?
Well, you're kind of blinking out and out. Are you traveling or are you?
Yeah, I'm walking around. Let me get over here in a stationary spot. So the big picture here isn't so much the damage. I mean, yeah, I mean, you ran, you spent your money for running. You deserved a fair election and a clean election. But here's the bigger picture. From what we get and what we've discussed on Let's Talk Fort Worth with two shows and then what we get from coming from the county commissioner's court, this all this ambiguity and all of this smoke and mirrors and smoke screening. Here's the deal. The facts are on with the videos and what's been interviewed on shows and what's out in the media reports. The people, I mean, it's just complete disorder the way there's no supervision. It doesn't seem that there's any regard for protocols, laws, accountability, oversight. You know, I put it out there, you know, these people, they get these ballot board members, they take an oath. So, and I've worked for the state, and I understand that when you have a responsibility to you by the state, that they train you, that you are given books and you're given blocks of instructions where you have to sign, you know, you have to pass muster, and you have to sign documentation that you and all of this equipment that we've heard about being talked in the interviews with the ballot machine, the voting machines and the process, the ballot boxes, secure, you know, if you've got seals and all of these protocols, you know, thing that we see is there's no controls in effect. And that's what's scary. I mean, so we've got this camera on, and all we see is complete disorder and disregard for what should be a sterile, controlled environment. We've got telephones, purses, food, people using the ballot boardroom around all of this equipment, coming and going, carrying things in and out, and using it like a break room. And then on the days of election counting, you know, and that's outrageous. We got a deputy we have a deputy in this video that came out, and what my understanding would be is that deputy has the same function as a bailiff in court, and that's to make sure that things are that the wheels stay greased and that things stay between the lines, you know. And obviously, when you see the deputy leaving the room for durations of time, and then also sitting there during the durations of times that he's there, talking on the phone and thumbing around on the phone while these people are bouncing around that room like pinballs. And then you hear that two ballot boxes were carried out and rerouted to another department of the Election Commission. When you have a reroute, in any business. It's not just anybody working in a ballot room. In any kind of controlled kind of situation, those are sensitive documents. Those ballots are like bullets, you know, and you have to have accountability of your ammunition, as a police officer or as a soldier. And so when she says that she was told by somebody to carry two boxes of ballots, I'm assuming that there's more than 100 ballots in each of those boxes, and that's enough to swing a race. And so what we don't have is a chain of custody from the ballot board room to the voter registrar's office. We just have somebody carrying two boxes out and coming back out with nothing and no tracking. And that's unacceptable. It doesn't matter what somebody says, somebody told them to do, what the supervision is. There is process, and these people are trained, and they take an oath. So there is really no, just by virtue of the disorder and the disregard for the protocol, there needs to be a third-party audit and a third-party intervention on this matter, just to recount, just for the sanctity of saying, hey, we messed up and we're going to do better, but we need to certify this election by manual recount. We need to audit all of these issues and make sure that there was no nefarious things going on, no shenanigans. That's my point.
Hey, yeah, Chris, I'm not sure if I understand this correctly or not, but when they say a ballot there, they talk about a box of ballots. If I got this right, and you say over 100 ballots in each box, each one of those ballots, it contains several votes on it, right? Each page has several votes or something. Have I got this wrong? I'm thinking there could be more. Does it have a page?
I'm just saying
like a page
that whatever she said, what I'm saying is that we're not going to know the answers until somebody who was not in that room at that point in time, somebody who understands what protocol is, they need to watch and they need to see. They need to go to the voters registrar office and interview who took custody and confirm if somebody actually did take custody of two boxes of ballots that were carried out of the ballot boardroom. That's how you do an audit and an investigation. If you don't have the documentation to show that this person at this stage in the process, it's just like carrying ballots from a precinct voting site to just telling somebody, hey, put these in your car and take them over to keep them overnight. You don't know what happened to those things if you don't have documentation. It's like, I mean, I can't tell you how many. In the military, I was a drug and alcohol urinalysis coordinator. And, you know, when you take a urinalysis, it's a very methodical process. You got to hold the bottle up so that it's like clearing your weapon on the range. You got to have somebody verify you, you know. So you carry your bottle, you give that person to that bottle, and then they pee in it, and then they bring that bottle back, and then you seal it, and then you put it in a box and you send it to get tested. You can't just bounce stuff around from room to room and building to building without documentation and process integrity of process. That's all I'm saying.
And she did mention one thing, too, that one of those crates they opened up, I don't know if it's that last election or what, where the seals were broke. Remember that, Carrie, when she was talking about that, too, that they were uncomfortable about that in one case. So there's another error. But also, Chris, what about – I like one of the callers that called in on Carrie's show and mentioned, weren't these people bonded? What do you think about that?
Oh,
You think they should be bonded?
Well, I mean, when you take an oath,
makes
that's
sense to me. I mean,
the same
I don't know.
Thing. You're bonded by and you can have a bond, but I mean bond is usually for monetary purposes, but
someone's
you could
putting
have
up
a
money.
Bond. You could do a bond.
Someone's putting up money. They're saying that they vetted you, you know what I mean? They vetted you, they're taking responsibility for you, and they're putting money up to so that you're qualified. You know?
Yeah,
and
they've had
that
same argument. They've had that same argument circulating around about doing away with qualified immunity and having police officers bonded too. I would entertain that, you know, because that just means that you don't have some flunky hiring his brother to become a police officer and then they screw up and then the city taxpayers have to pay settlements.
You got someone take responsibility. You know?
Can I ask a question? So, is it strange to anyone other than me that Haida Garcia has not made a statement since that YouTube video has been released? Because I would think if you are still at your desk and not gone, as a lot of people allege, maybe he has already left and will not be returning. Isn't it strange that he has not made a statement, seeing that he oversees the department?
I honestly, with everything on the ground, that's one of the points that I started raising right at when, I mean, and I asked it to Kano on the first show that she came on to on Let's Talk Fort Worth. I asked her who has effective control, who is effectively the elections administrator, and we kind of got this, well, Haida Garcia is effectively employed until this day, but I didn't ask that question. All I got was shift around, oh, there's an assistant election person, and there's Haida Garcia, and nobody ever said, who is the person doing the walkthroughs? Who is the person that is responsible? And if Haida Garcia went ahead and took vacation during this election, and he's not reviewing the process and the chains of custodies and everything like that, that's his job. He is the administrative coordinator of the election. So all of these protocols and all of the oversight and all of the, you know, the signs that come up, note the badging, you know, the access, what personnel are accessed. Is that obviously they said that sheriff's deputy wasn't verifying anything. He wasn't performing any duty other than just standing there and making sure nobody beat somebody up or something. I don't know what, but I'm just saying that it doesn't appear to me. If I had to guess, I think that they're just trying to fly it under the radar and get it over with and reconsolidate. But I don't think Haida Garcia had anything to do with this election, honestly.
But shouldn't he be making a statement if he is truly in, you know, still in leadership? Because, you know, ultimately, you know, when something goes wrong, or if, you know, we're assuming, based on, let's just say, allegedly, if the person who narrated the video was telling the truth, if there was a problem, shouldn't Haida Garcia be making a statement since he was in leadership and is supposed to still be in leadership? Right now about all of this and explaining, you know, to people what the process was or is and the fact that, you know, there's still integrity in the election. Shouldn't he be making a statement of some type about that?
Yeah, he should be honestly, that's where I come from saying that if he is effectively got his hands on the levers as the administrator, yes. And that's why I'm making the assumption that if he got sidelined, if the county commissioner basically – and he got sidelined and he signed and the county commissioner let him off the hook with his vacation and the assistant – the deputy elections coordinator is in charge, then whoever is in charge, whether it be Haida or whatever, they should be the ones out in front of this talking about – they should be the ones that are saying yes or no. They're aware of ballots, this stuff that we're getting out of these interviews from Kano. And these videos that are coming out.
So if someone like a Tonya Carter or a Bob Willoughby felt like something was wrong and they said, we're going to sue somebody at the election commission because, you know, the problem happened at the election commission, who do they sue? Do they say Haida Garcia was in the building or was he not in the building? I think all of that needs to be, like, addressed. Where is Haida Garcia and was he actually boots on the ground during the May 6th election and the November election? Well, I think he was with the November because I think the issue of him leaving just recently happened. But I think all of those are issues. He needs to speak up, I think. It's just my opinion.
Well,
If I may interject, I believe from my, you know, limited knowledge, it would be the Tarrant County Elections Office, it would be more than one person. Haida Garcia, it would be the county and the state, just to name a few.
Yeah, that's what you would do typically.
Just like
to
if you're in a car accident, you would sue the trucking company, you would sue the driver of the truck, and sometimes even the cargo. So it gets complicated. I mean, that's why I'm making this assertion. I will research. Go ahead, Moreno.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. I mean, you don't want to get frivolous and just name the whole city, but usually when you follow the line, and anybody who has fingerprints, anybody, including this, not even people, you sue the county commissioner's court, the county commissioner, then you just keep on going down, and then the elections commission board, you name them all as respondents, and then what happens is when the magistrate reviews your case and gives it merit, then what happens is they have to do the showing, and then what they will do is sit there and they will be named. The judge will either say they certify them as respondents, or he will dismiss the case against that person, and it will all get filtered through before the case. But that's a preliminary matter. And they will be like, well, I didn't have nothing to do with it. And they will send a response that says I didn't have. And then the judge will review the law and he'll say, okay, we remove this name as a respondent.
Yes, you know? But it doesn't remove them from that particular lawsuit. But it doesn't remove them from liability. Then they can come back and sue civically.
Yeah.
I do believe.
Oh.
But, you know, when we talk about the civil side, that's one aspect of it, but is there a criminal side if there is something, if what the narrator of the video said happened, if that actually, was something going on, is there a criminal aspect to it as well?
It just depends on how it's described in the lawsuit suit. Because they can come back and say it's a political matter. Go ahead and explain, Marina.
Yeah. Well,
but
it
depends on how it's described in the lawsuit. So the wording is very important. You have to go ahead, Marina.
Yeah. So basically what will happen in that kind of case with the criminal aspect of it is and people don't understand, a civilian can actually can turn stuff into the grand jury. So all you have to do is have an affidavit. You have an affidavit that states clearly what and the evidence that you have. You attach a copy of the evidence, and then you take it to the grand jury room, and the foreman takes it, and then you leave. They consider it. But here's how it goes with that. It could be a lot of this stuff could be misdemeanor, but there's felony too. And I'm just like, for the petty stuff that they put on Crystal Mason, there was no legitimate traction of the law that would have made her nefarious, because she didn't actually vote. She was instructed to fill out a provisional vote by that person because they said they didn't have her on the voter roll. So she filled out a provisional ballot, and then that goes to the process of verification. So she was declined. So her vote, she technically didn't vote. She just tried to vote. But anyway, I'm not getting into that. But basically what happens here, what the big thing here happens is if it becomes conspiracy. And if it becomes conspiracy, so basically if there was any kind of act in combination and concert between Kano, if there was some kind of agreement or some kind of knowledge between those, like, so you have Panky and this and that, whatever. If it looks like if there's some kind of interaction between them in that room that they're agreeing to do something, then that becomes conspiracy, and that bumps anything that would be a felony up to a first degree, from a state jail felony to a first degree felony. If it's a first degree felony for one person to do it and you acted as a conspirator, then it gets bumped up to second degree felony, and it gets pretty stiff.
And it's all based on intent, right? Because I believe Bob had mentioned before, I think I heard him say, it could be a simple mistake, but basically he just wants to, clear it out to make sure. But a mistake,
well,
and then people joining together to conspire, that's totally different. An accident and an outright intent to fraud, that's what you're saying, that's what makes it criminal.
Yeah, you have different, in the criminal law, you have different levels of culpable, like your mental state or your criminal mind intent. Like, you have recklessness. That just means not necessarily that you meant meant to crash into somebody, but you were doing something that was reckless and you caused an injury, or you caused the when you were doing the reckless thing, the law was broken, and therefore you, and usually that, you know, those are for lowercase. But then you have knowingly, you have recklessly, knowingly, and intentional. There's like three or four different variations of intent, and that just has to do with the fact that, so if, but in this case, you know, what you have is neglect of duty. But when you are when you've taken an oath, you've taken an oath, and you've, that's the whole reason that, so really recklessness doesn't fall into play here. So it would be more serious. It would be a more intentional sense of the culpable mental state, because when you take an oath and you verify and you've been trained, you know, that's why like if you've been trained and you've been certified to do something, that means that you have the wherewith, that you don't have an excuse. You can't say I was dumb that day, because you take an oath that you swear that you will perform this duty in accordance with the law, and that you are you are aware of the law. And so basically, you know, that's you don't have any way out of that I didn't mean to do it. You know the protocols, you've been trained on the protocols, and you took an oath to uphold those protocols and perform your duties in that manner. So when you don't do that, it's automatically I intentionally neglected my duties and screwed up, broke the law.
Let me get in here just a second here and give a word out here that to those who are tuning in, that if you want to call in, number's 515-602-9610. Just press 1 on the phone if you want to make a comment, or if you have a question or whatever, feel free. We're discussing the our election and May 6th election. And that, and possibly, you know, all the outcomes from it. So, okay, well, Chris, Tanya, I appreciate going over that there. We're going to open a line up. We've got one more person here has a hand up. Let's bring them on and see what they have to say, okay? And who do we have here at 6737? Do you have been on the line, 637? 6737. Anybody there? Like they're working on it. Uh-oh. They went away. Okay. All right, then. Well, Chris, okay, that went away. So, well, now that I interrupted and brought that in. Okay, so, okay, well, that's a good explanation on that about the rules there and that on the trial thing. And also, I do want to mention, too, that people that are tuning in a little bit late, whatever, they can always go back and listen to the full podcast and get some information. And what I mentioned from the beginning, I'd like to mention again that the only thing people can give you that's priceless is knowledge. And that's the only thing no one can steal from you either. So my suggestion is get as much knowledge that's free, grab it, okay? And you can get some here, and you can get some at Carrie Hines Show, Let's Talk Fort Worth, and other places. The Fort Worth Report, I kind of like what they put out, but still their hands are kind of tied a little bit because of the donations. But as far as our local media, and as Carrie says, I'm going to steal that from her, it's like a media blackout. They do not want you to know anything about local government and stuff like that. So, but anyway, that's what this show's all about, trying to get more people to tune in. What's going on in your city? It's our city, and by being involved is how we make it our city. And we're letting it be taken away by people who, well, like Chris saying, the way the ballot booth was run, the counting, was very unprofessional. Same way city councils run, very unprofessional. I see the parallels there with them. Neither one of them knows what they're doing. So, okay. Well, let's move up to, well, they had a good conversation before, and I saw a hand come up, and I thought I was going to let them in, and they took off, and they left me hanging with the show again here. I was riding easy there for a minute. So, okay. Also, we discussed it earlier. I thought, go ahead. Is that Carrie?
What is you all, you and Tanya, and I'm sure there's probably others that
Carrie, can I interrupt you one second?
Yeah.
Take your time with this, stretch it out, give me a couple of minutes. I've got to go feed my animals right quick, and I'll be right back, okay? Can you do that for me?
I can do that. That's interesting.
I'll be right back in just a matter of 4 or 5 minutes here, okay?
Bob feeds the raccoons. But my question was for my question was in terms of where the outcome, possible outcome, will be for, you know, Tonya Carter saying she's going to file a complaint, Bob saying he's going to contest it. What is the desired result that you all want to see? Because I'm not sure as many games as this had.
The desired result that I'd like to see personally is the assurance that every valid legal vote counts.
Oh. But do you need to know what happened? Go ahead.
Excuse me?
No, I'm saying, do you need to know what happened to the two boxes that left the room?
My question is concerning the two boxes because I'm still hanging on this thing. I hadn't posted it on Como Action News and I really hadn't talked much about it. I'm still holding it. My question is, she just said two boxes of ballots. Were they blank ballots? Were they old ballots? Were they new ballots? Were the ballots pulled from the trash? Were they provisional? What type of ballots?
It seems like, if I remember, and I could be wrong, I think like she said they were. Seemed like she said that they were provisional ballots.
Provisional ballots don't count. I mean, you have a certain time frame to go down and, you know, present the required information that's needed to make that ballot count. So that really. And then most people they don't do it. So I'm just saying I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I really feel that I received more than 478 votes.
Okay? Well, hey, Tonya.
And so as a result, I guess moving forward, the suggestion of going back the old fashioned way, you know, count them as the ballots are being put in, count them again once they make it to the drop off point, and count them one more time for due diligence, a three-part checking process, you know, the computer, you know, from the controller. It's been a while since I've worked there. The numbers that are counted and that's coming in, you know, due to power outages, failures, you know, quirks in the system. It doesn't always mean that it's guaranteed. So the old-fashioned going back to basics way of having that computer read out, okay, along with a three-point, sign-off ballot count with a non-partisan or independent poll watcher watching or poll watchers from all parties be present for the count. I would like to see something happen that where we won't have to question the integrity of the democratic process. What about you, Chris?
So, I was just going to ask, and you can verify, because I mentioned what I was saying. You've worked elections. You've been on the roster as an election judge and everything, right?
I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you go into that process, when you get selected or whatever, am I right or wrong that there's kind of a, don't they have some seminar for you to go to that you have to,
Initially, they did, and it was a paid process. It was an online course study that you had to participate in before you got that title and assignment of a poll judge. But I wasn't able to work in that capacity for a couple of years now because I was either volunteering, working, or campaigning for an office.
There you have it.
That was cut out. That was cut out. Their entire need of poll judges and workers. And I do recall the time that they even had people, they were hiring people from career agencies to come in just opposite that day. And so they're not knowledgeable
that's
about the job. They're not
that.
Knowledgeable about the liability. So that would go on the temporary agencies. They would be liable for that. I don't know. It just gets confusing. But when you have people that's not trained, I mean, they don't even know how to set up the equipment. They don't know how to do the list count. I don't know how to lock everything up. Everything is just thrown and, here, there, and everywhere, and then carted off, you know, to the one drop of a point, and then after it's after our hands. I think the judge should be required to stay through the whole process, because at the end of the day, that judge is responsible for those ballots.
Yeah. That's what I've seen. I have been to ballot counting places a couple of times, just at schools when I was working. You know, they had a school, and when they seal the ballots, when they break seals, when you get into this kind of thing, what I noticed is they have tape lines and tape boxes, and basically what that meant is if you left one station and you went to another station, you had, it was like an airport, you know. You weren't just allowed to drive across the parking lot. You had to go on the taxiway to get to this point, because what they didn't want was people just playing, you know, doing magic shit, you know. So
yeah.
you left your seat, you got up from your chair, and you stepped out of your box, and then you followed this line to whatever station that you were going to, and you didn't go in nobody else's box or be tapping on nobody else's computer.
Correct. Mm.
Can I say something else? I really do believe that we talked a little bit the other night about, you know, there should be a change of the way they handle the ballot boardroom effective immediately, like even before this runoff election is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like the security in that place should be like the Mint we have here in Fort Worth,
mm-hmm.
where they count. The fact that there should be no purses and backpacks to come in there. No lunch boxes, no cell phones, that the lockers should be outside of the actual room itself. No internet connection and connection to the Secretary of State. But basically, that there should not be any documents that leave that room. That the security there be trained what he's supposed to be looking for. He should be trained to be looking at the people in the room rather than just whether or not there's somebody that's going to come to, you know, pose a threat to the people that are in the room. But actually he should, you know, I mean, you got a whole 8 hours where you're doing, you're not paying attention to anything. That doesn't even make sense. That all the work be done while all of them are present. Like if it's lunchtime, everybody goes to lunch at the same time. So everybody goes to lunch at 12 o'clock, everybody comes back at 1 o'clock. So all work be done while all members are present. Nobody comes in 15 minutes early. Nobody works late. Everybody works at the same time. Like somebody said, the ballot board members be bonded. That they eat outside of the room. So the room is very sterile, and the things that maybe, you know, a bottle of water or something like that, but past that, nothing else should come in there. And that they rotate the people that work in the ballot board room.
Mm-hmm.
And the administration coordinator should be the only one with the code, okay? If the counters, if they're able, I'm talking provisional ballots or whatever, mail-in ballots, if they can go into the system and make corrections, if they feel they can make those corrections, the administration coordinator should be present or rule it out completely. Only the person who's that ballot belongs to should be able to enter the information. I don't think that they should be giving out codes and being able to, you know, get into the website and make corrections, because that just opens up in the propensity for mistakes and or intentional fraud.
And I think as far as the voting process is concerned, seeing that there are so many issues, I think that like your driver's license is only good for so many years, no matter how good of a driver you are. At some point, you got to go and renew it. And I think the same with your voter registration card. I think there should be an updating. There needs to be some type of process in which you are acknowledging you are who you say you are, and that you live at the same address, you know, and that type of thing. And any time where there's 8 people or 10 people voting from a certain residence, that needs to be verified. Do 8 people really live here? Do 8 people over 18, you know, really live at this residence? That needs to be verified. Stuff like that, there should be ways to cross-check when stuff like that should raise a flag. That's just my opinion. Certain things should raise a flag for people who do this for a living.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. Me and the raccoons both gave you a hand up on that one. So.
Absolutely. Something has changed, though. I mean, we can't keep saying it's an issue every time the election happens, but nobody's fixing the problem. Let's address them. Let's stop before this next election and change some of the protocols that are in place.
But I'm like with Tonya Carter. I'm saying, you know, she's kind of singing the same thing. And the money that we're spending for these high-tech trainings, these high-tech, like Hyder is has to be paid a lot because he's a high-tech guru, a geek squad. You got to pay a lot for that. You got to pay a lot for that equipment. And that equipment gets updated and changed out every 2 years because they find a flaw with this. So they're spending millions and millions of dollars on this equipment for 100,000 people to vote. Now, 30 years ago, they didn't have all that. I'm not talking about hanging chads or this, that, whatever, but I remember when I was a kid, we did simulated votings in high school, which was they came over there and they were like teaching us in civics class in high school how to vote. And they set up a mock voting thing in our auditorium and we went in there and we did it, you know, and, you know, you had those little metal suitcases that folded up with leg, you know, that leg, the voting with the little desk on there, and you just walked up to there, and then sometimes they had curtains on them, you know, they had certain areas, and it was like tape. When you got your ballot, they gave you your ballot, you left this table, and they walked go to a number this whatever, and then you went to that little suitcase table, and then you sat there and you voted, and then you flipped it in the box, and you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have these questions and problems. I mean, there were issues, but it was all worked out within a couple of hours. And now this thing with these damn, you got paper ballots, you got duplicate ballots, but everything is on a computer chip, and this computer chip has to match to this computer chip and this paper ballot. That's bull. You get all the ballots, you secure the ballots with a bailiff, with sheriff's deputies from the precinct, and they take it to the count facility. Or I think P. Yankee, he also said, besides the bonding, he also said that you get a preliminary, you get three people, everybody at that precinct should count ballots right there, and then it should be verified at the count facility when they sealed up. You seal them up, you put your count on there, and then they go and they get stored and validated. But they get counted at the site. Oh, this many ballots. And
exactly.
Then they get counted when they break the seal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they have those cameras in that room way up high. So you literally cannot see what they're doing. So if someone can say something is a ballot, somebody can say something's trash, and there's no way that you can verify it. But you know how when you go to the ATM, that camera's right there on you, and it can count every 20 that you took, and it can count the credit card, you know, name and all that, the numbers on there. It can pretty much see the debit card information and all of that. Well, the same should apply. You know, those cameras should be very close to where they're working. You can't tell what they're doing, and it's sitting up on the ceiling. It needs to be down low where it can pick up what are they working on.
I agree.
Where are they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but those cameras would be fine. And any way you have a camera, it's not going to matter if you don't have the freaking discipline going on there, if you don't have the accountability. If Hyder sat there, all of this stuff goes on these video cameras, Hyder's in the building, why isn't he walking around knocking on glass like, hey, you guys can't be huddled up like that, you know? Are you guys that basket needs to be locked? You know, it's like a sergeant in the military. You got a bunch of privates running around. It's like a zoo without a keeper. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you can't have monkeys. You can't have monkeys riding
on. Didn't he?
You can't have monkeys. You can't have monkeys riding on the back of tigers.
Oh yeah, you can at city council. Yeah, that describes it. No, you know,
Bobby,
what they need is a guideline
council
sheet. We need some kind of guideline sheet written down with all these rules things, so no matter who comes in, it's written, you know? Guidelines go by, like you just
they
said.
Have it.
You
Bob,
can't have people
have,
doing this and that.
They have all, they have handbooks, they have manuals, they have laws, they have policies and procedures, but so do the police department, so does the city council, and this is what, just like what you said, we got a snowball of Big Brother, Boss Hog bullshit.
That's why it's important that we know these laws, okay, and we can hold them accountable to it. I've learned that Hattie Parker, she wants to follow, what is it called, Robert's Law, Robert's Rules of Order for Decorum within Council. At first I was taken aback. I didn't think that would be a good idea. I thought it was a way of, you know, suppressing the people's voice. But you can't argue it. I mean, if it's certain rules that you're going to have to follow, not only would it be applicable for us, it's going to be applicable for them because we're all following the same written law and everyone knows it. So it could be a good thing. Bob, I'm just wanting to ask a question. You bring up about the agenda, and this has been a great concern for you as long as I can remember since I've recently been active in city council affairs, opposed to waiting until it comes back on the agenda. Have you considered contacting the commissioner's court, was this already mentioned, with Tim O'Hare, and ask if we as a people could request a special election by way of signed petitions where the people can decide where we want the agenda. Is that
on
possible?
The agenda. You know, that, I think I heard John Kerry's, and that's a very good point to bring up and to explore. Very good. Oh, that's very good. Mm-hmm. But as far as also with Maddie Parker's Robert Rule, that don't mean a thing. She changes her rules every other day to whatever, how she feels. And at the end of the day, until they put us back on there, our freedom of speech is back on that council agenda, she ain't doing anything for me. Not a thing. Once we put that back
again,
on, then we're
my
moving.
Question,
but until that's back on. But,
you know, petitioning.
I'll take that to the people. I'll take it to
the
commission court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ask him if there's something we can do about it. I plan on working that in there because that is freedom of speech, and it was taken away from us, okay? And there's no legitimate reason for them to do that, only to silence us. You know, it's more government control of the people, and that's what we got to figure out. Do people want to, and you know, kind of like that girl Kat, she admits that she's more of a socialist. So I guess that's more government control than people control, I guess. And as far as being a socialist or whatever, you know, it has some really good points, being a socialist. It really does. But the only problem with it, one thing why it won't work here, I think Sweden and some of those countries over there are socialist run, and they're one of the best, they say, to live in everything because they're small and they don't have corruption. That's why you just can't move into Sweden, you know. They watch who comes in and all that. So, but here, we're so corrupt in this whole country, socialism would just be a magic tool for the crooks there to use to even better themselves, right, and this kind of thing. Now, if we had an honest government all the way across the country, that would be something to possibly think. It'd be nice to be able to live and let your government run everything if you could trust them, but you can't trust these people. So you can't. It won't work, you know. It just won't work under that form, I don't think. But in a small area, it might, where you can control it, you know. That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, I am definitely going to go to the commissioner's court, and that's something I want to bring up, what you just said there, definitely. If we can do it, if not, I know that and the people, we have strength in numbers. It wouldn't take that many people. I have 1 million people here. It wouldn't take but 100 people to go there and scare the heck out of Maddie Parker. That's all it would take. Probably 100 would shake them, you know. But out of 1 million people, if we had to do that. But I need to get a people between now and time it goes back on the agenda anyway to be working at that and sharing that and trying to get people to want to get involved at that time to actually get something done. You know, one thing. Put that back on there for generations to come and all that. But, no, I appreciate you bringing that up, Tanya. I appreciate you going over it and mentioning that again so people that are listening. And I appreciate everybody calling in and giving their points of view because, see, a lot of people don't tune in. I think it's just me. You know, they didn't know I have educated people on here. So for y'all that are tuning in and listening, see, it can be very benefiting to come over to the show. So I appreciate Carrie's point. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. And what I've said a long time is that, you know, where elections are now with 2020 and even before that, and we know all the campaign and the PACs, the money roll, the bank money bags and stuff. What I tell people is your strength is in the First Amendment. And because you've got, so if everybody would just get, I'm not telling nobody not to vote. I'm not saying that. But what you got to understand is the old folks, man, the old folks back in the MLK days, they couldn't vote either. But what they did was direct action. And when they did direct, stop riding the damn bus. That's what's the lesson that I say that Rosa Parks taught people. You know, they say all of this and all of that. But what did Rosa Parks do? She told her people, y'all, we're going to quit riding the bus. And they quit riding the damn bus, and the bus company went out of damn business and integrated before people could even vote. They came back begging them back. So what I say is you get out and you do direct action, and I don't mean tear stuff up, but flip the tables like Jesus. You know, show up at city council and filibuster it. Get people organized, sign up on especially that once a month or twice a month deal that they have public comments. Get 50 or more, make sure that 50 or more people, and all you got to do is go in and read the newspaper article. So if you just bus people up there, get four or five people in a car, show up and give them a sheet of a newspaper article and that's relevant, you know, something that's embarrassing like, oh, you know, the Dean trial or whatever's new in the news or whatever's old in the news, and just have a person stand there and say, problem with what I'm reading in this, and then read that news article for 3 minutes, and then, okay, your time's up. Then somebody come up and do the same thing. It's called filibuster. Keep them there till midnight.
That's what I'd like to do about that and get our right back to speak. That's what I'm working on. I plan on putting up billboards in around October and work between now and then and try to get everybody to rattle up when it comes on there. But even before that, I'm going to take Tanya's suggestion, too, and head to the commissioner's court because I go down every pathway. And if we ever get that back on and start moving, then I'm all for getting behind. There's a list of things that need to be done. But I think the first one's more important to me is getting power back to the people. That's the first thing, getting us some strength back. And one is our right to speak. Another thing is let's get campaign contribution limits on the ballot to quit having these seats bought by, you know, rich people controlling us. And then let's get term limits on there so they don't make a career out of it. I think 3 2-year terms, which now all these people back in are, you can watch and see, but I'm looking for the agenda to come up. They're going to put it on there. That's Proposition 1, I think it was. They're going to put on what you call term limits, but it's not what I'm talking about. They're talking about how often you vote, okay? And they're going to put that on there again and try to change that where they stay 4 years in office instead of 2 years. That's the mentality of this council down
Maddie
there.
Parker's
and with this small
Maddie
crowd,
Parker's
they can get by with that with this
that.
Small crowd. And that's why we need to get more people aware and to be ready to stop that and do that. But nevertheless, if we can get one thing done, then there's so many things that we need. We could do one thing at a time, but getting something done first. I've got a few things of my own, but as far as a collective group of people really getting something done, nothing has, and I'm hoping that, you know. But anyway, my number one thing is, and it's the First Amendment, because it's number one. They made that. I didn't. And it's a weapon. I like weapons to fight with. Without weapons, you know, you go down there fighting without weapons, you know, that's not, you know, when you let them take away your weapon, you know, and don't do anything about it. And that's why they do that. They take it away to see if they can get away with it. Some of these things, just like I was just noticing today when I was driving around, something that needs to be changed. Garage sales. Garage sales, I see them all the time. They got their signs out. Well, see, code compliance changed an ordinance. You're only allowed to put a sign in front of your orange if you're having a garage sale. Anything outside that's breaking the law, okay? And I don't think that's right. I think you should have the freedom to put up. Well, if you live on a dead end, you're only allowed to put one sign in front of your yard. Well, I don't have any problem with people putting garage sale signs up. And I do think they ought to be enforced. They pick them up when they get through, too. Clean up your mess. I have no problem with it. If you don't, I think you ought to get a fine. You know, clean it up. But you're welcome to do that during garage sales. And that. But see, here's the thing about why they changed that rule and they don't enforce it. They keep doing this to see how far they can get away with it. See, they changed that. No one's down there yelling about it. No one's saying that. You know, I feel like going around my neighborhood next time I see garage sales and take their signs down and bring them to their yell and say, hey, yeah, it's the law. You know, they pass it. So if you want to change it, I'll support you. But otherwise, keep your sign down, you know, because that's what they're doing to us. They're seeing how far they can get away. Now people started yelling, say, "Hey, we want the right to put the signs up." Now they're hearing something, you know, but they're going to keep taking slice by slice every which way, and some of these are just kind of testers, and like Arlington,
reduced
the speaking time.
Mm-hmm.
Reduced it from 3 minutes to 2 minutes. Little slices.
That's what
they
do. That's part of the whole Orwellian.
And see how far they get away with it, too.
You. Yeah.
And that's right. And that's why we got to put the brakes on right here and get my freaking weapon back. I'm having a – I want to – right back. We get it right back. Not only we get it right back to speak, we need to be at the top of the agenda like other cities. That's why I took it off, too. They didn't want us on top.
Mm-hmm.
And the clear reason why it's so important to be on top of that agenda, our right speak like other cities are, because then you're speaking – you're also speaking in front of all the zoning cases, and there was a big crowd there last time about Rosemont, okay? And a lot of people tuning in because there's a problem in their area. Big crowd tuning in. If you're speaking for them about things going on in your city, you're putting words in their head what's going on. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get more people out of those polls to start helping, you know? And they don't want that. They don't want people to know what's going on, so that's why it took us out of there. And
I'm really kind of pissed off because it's very obvious. I looked at back, I guess, a year or so ago, right around the police oversight board vote. You had a big old freaking frenzy of the white folks that was up in there when Chris Nettles made his speech, and they started barking and griping and jeering and screaming at him, and Maddie Parker let it go on. And then she kind of said, "Hey, okay, Chris Nettles asked for order. There will be." And then Maddie Parker says, "First, hey, whoever you are, hey, we let him speak." Now, and then they kept on doing it. You didn't hear. But whenever it's somebody black or Mexican, they get up in there and they get to acting rowdy like that. "Hey, I'll shut it down. Get him out. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought about putting on that billboard when I put it up. Are you going to let a racist white KKK connection, Maddie Parker, take away your freedom of speech and not do anything about it? What's wrong with you people? Huh? Wake up. You know what? Let me tell you something else, too. The Police Association, Firefighter Association are worse than the KKK, and here's why. KKK, at least you know who they are. They come out and tell you who they are, you know? You don't know who the Police Association is or the Firefighter Association, and they are dirty. So that's the reason I say they're worse, because they're doing things bad, and they're doing it in secret, you know, hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I, you know, I'm against KKK's thing, but at least they say who they are. They're bad. So, I'm sorry, Tanya or Carrie, whoever it is.
Well, who's the KKK? Because we don't know who the KKK is. Most people who are KKK.
Well, Maddie Parker, ask her.
Well,
her parents know, right?
Okay.
That's her parents have some phone numbers. I mean, and, you know, also, like, I didn't know that, you know, Fort Worth won the headquarters and all that, and I thought that was pretty well starting to die down completely. But now lately, I've been kind of using it. Lately, it's been kind of coming up a little bit, you know, and I guess they're still around, but they're not, you know, as
you ever heard,
open.
You ever heard of the Fort Worth Club?
Oh.
No, I don't. You know, they're probably kind of underground, you know, more or less. They're not as open, but they're probably
building. They got a big high-rise building right on 7th Street.
Yeah,
and
downtown Fort Worth.
Yeah. And if you look at their website, they've got pictures and from history. And I pulled one up that looked like it was from about the 70s. And they had a bunch of bald-headed, gray-headed, old white men, all men.
No, easy. I'm gray-headed and old. Easy.
No.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris. I'm just kidding.
Sitting there with their tuxedos and their bibs on, and they had nothing but they had black maids, like the black waitresses walking around waiting on all these white. Then I flipped it around, and the most recent one, they got the same thing. They're in this ballroom in their tuxedos, and they're watching this presentation, and all you see are white people. That's it. White men.
Well, I'll tell you about that organization,
like,
though. You know what? The organization do whatever it wants. It's America. It's a freedom of speech. But when the organization uses violence to push their beliefs on people, that's where they cross the line. Now, what they want to do in that building, I don't care. It's between them, God. As long as they're not attacking people outside there or doing that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? I don't agree with that organization. They have a right not to go there, okay? I don't care what they do in there. But when they start, which they're not known, they're known as doing things outside there, and that's what's wrong, you know, attacking people and being racist and hurting people just because, or like Hitler did the Jews
when,
and stuff like that. That's wrong. But what you,
when
you stay inside,
when your mayor's husband owns a lobbying firm that is situated inside that building, and he's a member, and your mayor is a member, and all of your city councils are a member, that's an issue of
it is.
That, I don't, it's,
you
it's
know
an
what?
Issue.
They are doing harm in another way, though, when they start getting into your government and pushing it that way. Instead of maybe that's the whole, that, that's another. Instead of not only, I guess I ought to rephrase that, not only ballot wrong, but I don't want them getting our system either and changing our system. Yeah. And then you got a point there. You're right on target. It may take away our right to speak, government control, you know, set up right on top of everybody and control them and that kind of mentality, which is, so, yeah, I wouldn't want them in government control either, you know what I mean? And that'd be wrong, too. But I'm saying if an organization, and usually what's bad about these organizations, though, even if they sit silent, they grow for a reason. And then when they get bigger, they usually explode that kind of stuff that I don't want. But if it, you know, if it's a small organization, they stay together and they're in a little group inside of a building, they want to hate everybody or whatever, they keep it in there, don't bring it out here, and they're not hurting anybody, don't do it the rest of their life. I don't care. They can sit and rot away. I got enough to do with. Let God deal with it. But when they come out and start trying to influence our government, our way of life and pushing stuff like that, then we gotta, you know, can't have that. I mean, I think everybody ought to be treated equal out here, period. Just equal, you know? So I don't know. But anyway,
the city's business is being handled in that building. That's the problem.
I bet it is. I bet that it all, like I said, sometimes communism or that kind of KKK mind stuff, that government control or supremacist control, all that stuff, something like that, all kind of ties together because even your code compliance works like the SS, you know, from Hitler's day.
Yeah.
They do that. And no one will challenge code compliance, and I don't understand it to the day. I still don't understand why people don't stand
and
up
so
about that.
Did y'all ever get a chance to talk about the Lauersdorf issue out there? Oh, God. Boy.
What issue was that?
I think you said, how are they controlled by? They're controlled by money. That's how this city is controlled.
I was bringing up the Charles Lauendorf or whatever.
What was that?
The new city
councilman. Charles.
You had him
the
on.
New one. Yeah.
Charles. Yeah, you had him posted.
Yeah, okay, Charles. That's what you're talking about now, yeah. Matter of fact, if anybody knows Charles and would like to come on the show or tell us who he is, because we don't have a clue who this guy is. He just flew in. He planted in there for 32 months. Now here he is. He's your leader. And that and... You know, he hasn't got a clue what's going on in this city. You know, never been to council meetings, bond meetings, budget meeting. Doesn't have, you know. Oh, that's something you mentioned, Chris, I heard earlier, or someone mentioned, maybe someone else did here. But what's missing in our school? Is civil duties,
yeah,
is that still taught in our classes? Civics, that's what I was looking for, yeah.
Is
that still taught in our schools?
When I was in the seventh grade, they had courses in civics. And we had
I don't
like
think they have
courses.
It now, though, do they?
I don't think so.
They used to have, school presidents and all that kind of stuff, you know, about your voting stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, like I say, to undermine this country, take that out of our schools, okay? Don't get them involved with our local government. And that's another sign of a way to you know, take us away from underneath. And I don't think they have
and
it,
my
but
whole,
I'm going to.
I grew
ahead,
up
Chris.
In California, and I grew up in California, and my eighth grade year, the standard curriculum for the eighth grade history, U.S. history class, the whole first semester was on the Constitution. The whole first, so you spent 6 months of the year going clause by clause by clause, and then we spent all that time and we analyzed the whole semester of the Constitution.
I bet it's been replaced about teaching about, sexual gender or something now? Is that what replaced
them? Oh, yeah.
Because that's all you're putting, you know. So, I mean, So that teaching people how to be right was wrong. I don't know. But, yeah, that's something I'd love to because now the school board, I wanted to go speak more at the school board, but it used to be way over there by White Settlement Road, and lo and behold, they moved it right down the street from here, right by me. And I said, oh, what a blessing. I could even ride my bicycle down there. So I'm going to be going to a lot of school board meetings now because it's just right down the street from me here, and that's so convenient. And that's what I'm going to be – I want to talk to those and at those boards, and I want to find out what's going on in our elementary and what they're teaching. Or they, I saw someone put up a sign say put back the trades. Do they not teach mechanical, carpenter? When I went to school, we had wood shop. We was taught wood, you know. Do they not have that anymore in high school or stuff? So that's stuff I kind of like to see. Is it going away? And it should just make us weak if we do, because then we'll be dependent. You know, those things we need, you know, you need carpenters and how to build and so I don't know. But anyway, I'd like to see what they're doing in our schools. And it made it so convenient, it's a lot easier to, you know, go down there and bitch at them now. So,
and I tell you what's on the horizon. One thing that I'm telling you what's on the horizon that people really, really, really need to get stiff on is to shut this whole plan for Panther Island down. That is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Run things north, run the whole north side minority people and small businesses out. And then they want to build apartments and then build Walmarts you know, the Walmart lady lives right down the road. So she'll put in another Walmart right there and then fruit stand, you know, people who have farmers markets. You know, when I was growing up, all under that bridge where that Tandy Center subway used to be was a fruit, every weekend was a farmers market under there. Now it's a bazaar, I think.
Yeah. What's about? Yeah, I've seen pictures of that Panther Island, how they wanted to make that city in there, you know, kind of like the Wizard of Oz, where they're a little rich here.
Yeah. Well, here's what I suggested. If you've ever, do you know who the Round Rock, you know, the Round Rock Express? It's a big, like, AAA baseball team from, I think they were affiliated with the Rangers and then the Astros, but Nolan Ryan's got his hands in that. So what I heard was that Nolan Ryan was really pushing to get LeGrave Field, and what they were going to do was put up a big old freaking – they were going to update that whole thing and build a big stadium so they could do concert. And that thing at Round Rock, it's called the Dell Diamond. If you look up the Dell Diamond, they've got – like it's so awesome. It's huge. It's big. It's a nice – they do fireworks out there. They do all kinds of stuff, monster truck shows. They could have the Fort Worth, they could have the rain bring back the Fort Worth Cats or something, you know.
Yeah,
but they don't
yeah.
need to be sitting there building more stackable homes.
They don't care about anything like that. Whatever benefits them, what makes the builders happy, the developers who give them money and keep them in their spots, you know. And that's what they're catering to. They don't, you know, that. But
yeah they want to get us all on REIT.
And they got that master plan they got laid out, and they're going by it no matter what. You know, they have these little meetings. They tell us we can come down and speak and all that kind of crap. But at the end of the day, they're doing what they want to. And when they took away our right to speak and no one came down, they knew they could do what they wanted to then. That's what gave them the green light to keep going like they're doing right now. It's because they say, hey, if we can take away their right to speak and they don't come down and yell, we can do whatever we want to. No one's going to come down. And unless it's isolated, like the Rosemont thing. That's an isolated thing, putting that homeless place right in the middle of the development there by the school, you know, and that drawed down a big crowd. You know, and that's why I really want to be back on that agenda in front of those people, speaking about other problems so that we can get more strength. Because at the end of the day, the strength is in numbers, and they used to be. And they got away from that. So in school, no more civic duty, you know, all that kind of stuff. They cut us down. And Democrats and Republicans have turned people against each other. You got so many people vote for a Democrat just because they're Democrat, or a Republican just because they're Republican, and they're both crooks in there, you know. And people just vote because it's an RD. There's so many people do that just because of R or D, and not because. So, hey, I think both parties are needed. Both parties are good, but people got to start cleaning up their own party. Democrats should go after bad Democrats.
And be careful about this one that was on the work session agenda a couple of weeks ago. You know about the flock cameras? They tried that mess in Como, and it got, you know, they was going to totally saturate Como with those cameras, and that got kicked back because of blowback. But now what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to put these smart streetlights, which are the same thing. So So now they're wanting to update all of the new streetlights that they want to replace and build in new development areas. What they're going to have is a console in that streetlight that does everything that the flock cameras do. And they're going to have a speaker so they can – they say it's for detecting gunshots. But, no, nah, that's for snooping. That's for some
that,
that's for more Big Brother 1984 shit.
Yeah.
I brought that up two years ago. There were like light blue lights all up Horn Street in Como. I'm from Como, and it was during the time of the 2020, you know, bond money for the so-called revitalization of Como. And like you said, they wanted to usher in the surveillance cameras, the flock cameras. They came to NAC, Como Neighborhood Association, and asked what we'd like to do with this money. It was a sense of urgency. If we didn't make up our mind, you know, we were going to forfeit losing the money and it go back. But, you know, they came to NAC at the last minute. I was against the cameras, and you know the story behind that. Attorney Leon Reed came on board. They reduced the initial number of cameras, but they still placed cameras out here when we didn't want them. And then shortly after, here comes the light blue lights. I Googled some information, and they were referred to as urban light. And as you said, audio and surveillance equipment attacked. I also linked it to a project that the police department was involved in, along with a military base that's located right off of, you know, Westover Hills here in Fort Worth, that they had a project going on together, and it was classified information. But, Chris, no one would listen to me. I think Park and M, they just came out with a statement and said that they were faulty lights or whatever, and they were easily be replaced. But we need to educate ourselves on these issues and hold people accountable. Thank you for that information, because they had me thinking I was cuckoo for the Cocoa Pops.
No.
Well, let me step in here. We're getting close to the end here. We're coming down to the end
to
here.
Understand.
We've got about 3 minutes left. Go ahead, Chris.
People need to understand exactly what those flock cameras' capabilities are, and You have no clue. It's not the camera. It's not the picture. They can profile you. They don't have to have a warrant. They don't have to have anything. If they got any they can scan your school picture from when you was in your yearbook picture.
Yes.
And they can download that into a database. And then when you go to get your damn tampons at the store, they can see what kind of tampons you buy. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, let's bring it down. We're coming to an end here tonight. I appreciate everybody coming on and helping me out here with Carrie and Chris and Tanya. I definitely appreciate y'all helping me carry through here on this thing, the show. And I want to thank our producers, Urban Buzzoff, and our legal team, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. And we'll be back in another week here. And also we do a show on Wednesday nights. I do a radio show called Time Out. You can get to it by fwdistrict5.com, either on blogtalk.com, put it in the search bar, or Google fwdistrict5.com, and go to my website, and you can hit the button for music or shows to get to the page. You get to the pages. Also, you can go back and listen to this podcast here and see what you might have missed out on. Information, I hope you'll join us again. I hope you'll share this information, the show, what we're having here, and I can't thank everybody for coming on enough here and helping me out through the night. And I think we're about to call it a wrap here. And that, and like I say, I do a music show, 1 hour, of some professional label artists from the 70s that people might not have heard, and we do some original songs. And also I like to do upbeat songs, political songs to help get you in the mood to go forward. And also for musicians to meet musicians on there, they can contact bands, bookings locally, information. We'll be doing our second show Wednesday, which is a follow-up from the last show. We'll play the same song list again. What we asked was you to determine which was an original song and which is an artist song. So for the fun of it. And also we'll be doing some duet songs. Do you know Mick Jagger and Michael Jackson did a song together. You might not have known that. So we'll be pulling up some information like that and playing on there. So for an hour, a time out to have fun and music and to kind of lighten things up for a little bit. So look forward to that on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 and back here on Sunday nights from 7 to 9. And And we'll see if we can't get someone on next time for the election board, and we'll be inviting candidates on in the near future that'll run for office. So thank you for tuning in, and have a good night, y'all. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.